Leaning Toward Wisdom. It's episode 4124. Happy December 2017. He is Rye Cooter. It is from a 1979 album that I had that later I replaced as a CD called Bop Till You Drop. It is the number one song on this record called Little Sister. It has nothing to do with today's episode. It's just that I like Rye Cooter and wanted to break out the man who can play just about any fretted instrument. I suppose he could play a non-fretted instrument. You will find a lot of Rye Cooter if you were to check my music collection. In fact, he is another one of those fellows, kind of like Jackson Browne and Counting Crows and Van Morrison. I own everything the guy has done. It's episode 4124 of Leaning Toward Wisdom. Today, Sagacity, my hometown. Rye Cooter, Bop Till You Drop, 1979. There are nine tracks on this record, and you will hear snippets of all nine tracks before I'm done today. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. Yep, you can tell, the winter cold, it's here. I get it every year. Doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter, I mean, I'm eating well. I'm going to the gym every day. I wash my hands vigorously. Not obsessively, but it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. Started hitting Wednesday night. Today is December the 1st, 2017. Friday. Happy Friday. You know what that means, kids? It means tomorrow is Saturday's smile. So stay tuned for that. Check the website out, leaningtowardwisdom.com, and you can find every Saturday, six, sometimes more, really funny cartoons, at least I think so. If you're a fan of the, not the cartoon strip, but the single panel cartoon. That is the single drawing, single caption. Big fan. I'm a big fan of that art form. Sagacity, my hometown. Yeah, it's a play on words. Sagacity. Sega City. Sagacity is defined as having or showing acute mental discernment and keen practical sense. In a word, shrewd. Saga is, it's any narrative or legend of heroic exploits. I kind of like both of those definitions. Two different terms, for sure. You know, wisdom is steeped in sagacity. This is not a word that you hear very much. I'm not going to lie to you. We have a play-by-play hockey announcer here in Dallas for the Dallas Stars. His name is Daryl Ray, otherwise affectionately known as Razor. And Daryl, he likes this word. He uses this word. And was watching the Stars play the other night, and he used this word, and I don't know. I've heard him say it 100 times or more, and it struck me. Wisdom is steeped in sagacity. I mean, you can't really have wisdom without sagacity, nor can you have sagacity without wisdom, I don't suppose. Not really. Because in a word that is far more familiar to you and far more familiar to me, to those of us with a limited vocabulary, sagacity is judgment. In fact, for our purposes, we'll call it good judgment. That is sagacity. Bad judgment abounds, and I guess that's another reason for hitting record today on this particular kind of a topic. Bad judgment abounds. I mean, from the presidential Twitter account to the studio set of the Today Show, where this week we got word that Matt Lauer now joins the ranks of so many others who have been behaving poorly, very, very poorly. From the NFL playing field, where we had Michael Crabtree and Tlaib. What's his first name? I don't know. You know, the ripping of the chain off my neck episode, which I'm told by people who have much more street cred than I do, that it's just a horrible sign of disrespect. I know I hate it when that happens to me. No, you will see no gold chains around my neck. It's funny, though. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what activity you're paying attention to. There's just bad behavior. There's just poor judgment being shown. Could we have any news without poor judgment? I don't suppose so. It's as though every aspect of news reporting involves the reporting of some bad, poor judgment. So much for sagacity, right? Well, now you can see why I would like for sagacity to be my hometown. Back in December 26 of 1960, the Andy Griffith Show released an episode entitled A Stranger in Town. Now, those of us that are longtime Andy Griffith Show fans, and in 1960, to be fair, I was a toddler, so it's not like I was watching the Andy Griffith Show in 1960. I was not. Well, if I was, I don't remember. But I do remember this episode, and as I was thinking about today and this episode of Leaning for Wisdom, I thought about this particular episode of the Andy Griffith Show. The episode was entitled A Stranger in Town, and this very friendly, very smiling guy, he comes into town. And he just walks down the street and he begins to greet everyone as though they are lifelong friends. The problem is the whole town is perplexed because nobody knows him. Nobody has ever seen this guy before. And yet he knows all of them by name. And he will ask them various things about their life. So he not only knows them by name, but he knows things about them. He knows details about them. Well, they've never seen him before, and this just completely baffles them all. And this goes on for a good while until the townsfolks, they get increasingly uncomfortable around this new guy. And about the time that he's getting in a funk and feeling kind of depressed because the town's not accepting him, they discover that, well, back wherever he came from, he had been taking the Mayberry Gazette or whatever the Mayberry newspaper was. He had been taking it for a long time. He had been studying this little town. He loved Mayberry. He had never been to Mayberry. But he decided from a distance that he was going to make it his new hometown. And so he studied all the citizens of Mayberry, read the paper from stem to stern, and moved there. And it was a case of a person who, obviously, he was wanting some type of a do-over. He was not from Mayberry, but he wished he were. And, of course, Andy holds forth and tells the whole townsfolk, you know, I mean, here's a guy who... we just happened to be born here, but here's a man who he's picked us. He's chosen us. I'm not a native Texan. There's a big thing here in Texas. It's not as big now, but it used to be. It was 20 some odd 30 years ago when I came here. My wife is from here, but we moved here from Oklahoma City area, where we had been for some years. And big native Texas thing, you know. I'm a native Texan. You could see the bumper stickers everywhere. And then as other people from out of state began to come here, and of course, Dallas-Fort Worth is a big city. I mean, Toyota relocated here. American Airlines is headquartered here. AT&T moved their headquarters here. So, you know, we got a lot of folks from all over the country, all over the world who are here. And so then the tide began to turn and the motto began to be, I wasn't born here, but I got here as fast as I could. I don't know. I wouldn't say that I got here as fast as I could. I got here as fast as I wanted to. I got here as fast as I needed to. I'm glad to be here. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad to call Texas home. I still root for Oklahoma in football, and that's happening tomorrow, by the way. So as I hit the record button, we have the Big 12 Championship, TCU versus OU, tomorrow down here at what we affectionately call the Death Star. That's Jerry World. It's Jerry's stadium for the Cowboys, who won last night. Shocker. We were all just quite amazed about that. Talk about good judgment. Yeah, about time. I was thinking about this episode of Andy Griffith and Mayberry and the Mayberry citizens and people choosing their hometown. And one thing that really has been a preoccupation for me in the last few weeks has been the choices that we make and our own determinations. And this really started back with whatever episode number it was where I talked about drawing a circle in the sand. And that is to kind of stake our place and make our choice and put up our boundaries and say, these are the things that are going to be important to me. And so increasingly on my mind lately has been us owning our own decisions, owning our choices. And it's like everywhere I look, I see this kind of stuff. And Tiger Woods making a comeback and is doing well. And it caused me to remember the stories that I had heard and the stories that I've read about Jack Nicklaus. And Jack Nicklaus, I guess there was a book that was written, I'd have to dig around here, Golfing with Dad or something like that. And in that book, Nicklaus, his father, evidently was a pretty spectacular guy of getting young Jack to own his own choices, own his own decisions. And so it's like everywhere I look, I see this thing. I see this thing of individual responsibility, individual accountability, people owning they own their own behavior, their own performance. And now contrast that with everything that we're seeing in the news today, all of these men behaving poorly. And lest we think that only men behave poorly, I tap the brakes on that. I'm sure there are plenty of women who behave poorly as well. This is not the sole domain of males. But in the news lately, particularly our powerful males, males who have some position, males who have some authority, or at least some influence over females, and are behaving very, very poorly. Of course, this week, most notably, Matt Lauer, and then within a day, Garrison Keillor, which still shocks me. I agree with conservative pundit Matt Walsh, who talks about how we are so quick to judge and we don't even want to listen to the accused put forth any explanation, any defense. It's as though somebody says it, we don't know who they are, we don't know how credible they are, doesn't matter. But it made me think about sagacity, and it made me think about good judgment. It made me think about poor judgment. And I believe it was Mr. Walsh, and if you don't follow him, and you may not be bent to follow a guy like this, Matt Walsh is a faith-based conservative guy. And if you don't have any appreciation at all for that perspective, then you're not going to want to listen to him. But he made a good point some weeks ago in talking about our ability to just to listen to each other, to just not put a hand up and say, no, I'm not going to listen. I don't want to hear anything that's contrary to how I personally view things. And I agree with him. I agree with him. I just don't know what harm is done in trying to have a civil conversation. We've lost civility, folks. Civility is out the window and long gone. But I'm thinking about this term sagacity, and I'm thinking about this hometown thing of Mayberry, and I'm thinking about sagacity, and of course, it's a play on words because it ends with city, and which makes me think of Saga City, my hometown. And yeah, I want to be from there for sure. I want to be from a place of good judgment. And you think about all this bad behavior and you think about how this stuff gets started and takes on a life of its own. And of course, so you got a guy like Matt Lauer, and let's assume that the accusations are true. They may not be, not entirely, but let's assume that there's plenty enough fire where this smoke exists. $28 million a year. I believe the number I read was last year responsible for over $500 million in revenue to NBC, the Today Show, and largely because of his popularity with women. And okay, it's not real difficult to figure out. There's a lot of power there. There's a lot of influence there. And it certainly is not difficult to understand that someone who had a bad encounter would be timid to come forward and to report it or to divulge it, perhaps, given he's a guy with a big, big reputation and a big, big paycheck. I get that. I understand all that. I just think from the person's perspective, from his perspective, and think, you know, how do you even get this? How do you even start this? We've got a state representative, I think, Joe Barton here in Texas. I mean, here's an older guy, you know, I mean, the guy's sending really inappropriate photographs and whatnot. You're thinking, just how does this get started? What's up with this? And, Bad judgment. And so somebody writes an article yesterday, and I was reading through this article, and they're reading about that it's power. And I'm like, you know, These are scumbags. These are dirtbags. You don't have to have power to be a dirtbag. You don't have to have power to exercise poor judgment, right? Anybody can. And anybody can exercise good judgment. Anybody can say, I want sagacity to be my hometown. I want to have acute mental discernment. I want to have a keen practical sense. I want to be shrewd. I want to exercise proper good judgment. It takes a few things to do that, for sure. And power is really not so much part of the deal.
Well, me and Frank, we're the best of friends, and our friendship will never end. But it would hurt him so for him to know that I'm in love with his girlfriend. Now the love of a girl and the love of a friend are two things you can't compare. And though my heart will ache, I will let it break, 'cause I know that it just ain't fair. So go on home, girl. Call it a night. You better go home, girl. This just ain't right. But before you go, I want you to know that I love you. Yes, I do. And though it breaks my heart for us to part, still I know Frank loves you. You say that we can make him see we got a love that's really real. But I think that he is just like me, and I know just how he feels. Darling, we both know it would hurt him so if you told him that it must end. And I could never hold the love I stole from a man I call my best friend. Go on home, girl. You better go home, girl. Go on home. You better move on.
Track number two from Ry Cooter's Bop Till You Drop. The name of the song is Go Home Girl. Yeah, you don't want to steal your best friend's girl. That's not a good recipe for sagacity, for exercising good judgment. Habits and these pathetic behaviors that we see, and not to be... because we all live in glass houses. And so not to be so judgmental, but for us to discern what we can about our own lives and our own habits, and I would hope that you're not behaving so poorly, but you might be, and we've all behaved poorly. We've all used bad judgment at some time or another. I guess for me, the question today is how is it that we can slide so far and we can allow these bad habits or these bad judgments, these bad behaviors to become habits, to just kind of be the way that we are. I mean, for that to define our character. And as these stories are unfolding and we're hearing things, and, you know, and it really began in earnest with this Weinstein fella and how people had known for years that this was happening. And you're thinking, is there absolutely no one who can help this guy have some accountability in his life and exercise better judgment? I'm real fascinated by these things, and I have been for a number of years, now, and it is why that the work side of what I do, the professional side, the money earning side, is really is leaning more and more and more and more toward groups of people, small groups of people who I've now landed on a very, what I think is an appropriate term for it, and that is goal-oriented groups. And if you want to learn more, you can go visit the work website at growgreat.com. Just this week, I released an episode with that title, Goal-Oriented Groups, because I find myself having these conversations with people, and they've got a big puzzle over their head, right? A big question mark. They don't quite get it. Like, okay, what would this group do? And yet we understand that groups exist to support one another and to help one another and sometimes to overcome bad habits. It's what drug rehab is partly about. Now, there's a lot of physical stuff to it, but part and parcel of rehab, whether it's alcohol or narcotics or prescription drugs or whatever it may be, part of it is a group dynamic, in that everybody is in the same boat, in that, much like Weight Watchers, AA, one of the groups that I even cited in the most recent podcast over there at Grow Great, Parents of Murdered Children. That's an awful group to be a member of, but if you are, you are. And wouldn't you find it beneficial and valuable to be in a room with other parents who knew what you know and who have felt what you feel, and they're going through it as well, and the support that you can get from one another? And it's not a judgmental kind of a thing. It's not a, well, let me tell you what you ought to do. It's a shared experience kind of a thing. And part of that shared experience is the support, but it's also the respect for you to make your own decisions, make your own judgments. But once you do, we're going to hold you accountable for it. I mean, if you decide that this is what you're going to do, once you have heard the feedback and whatever wise counsel surrounds you, okay, it's your choice. Own it. Own it. Now, it's different when we're talking about bad behavior. It's different when we're talking about poor behavior. It's different when we're talking about destructive behavior. So we could think about parents and a child that is college age, and the parents can try to decide for that child what, here, you should do this, you should do that, you should go into this field or that field. Yeah, you could do that. You could impose on your kid. But what's the value there? Better to support them in making the decision. And then when they do make the decision, help hold them accountable for that decision. That's the way of service. Jack Nicklaus's father, as I recall, wanted him to remain an amateur, but concluded by saying, it's your decision. And young Jack decided to become a pro. And Dad supported Jack because Jack had realized that this was his game and he was going to have to be responsible for the game and he was going to have to be responsible for his play. And he was. It's a great balance of help and advice and support and accountability. You make the choice. But as we think about these guys and their bad behavior, and as maybe as we think about our own bad behavior, because that's really where there's greater benefit. I don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about Matt Lauer or Harvey Weinstein or Louis C.K. I don't want to waste much time with that. That's me. I would rather look in the mirror and think, while I'm certainly not behaving in any way, shape, or form as these people are behaving, that doesn't mean that I'm doesn't mean I don't have some bad habits. It doesn't mean that I'm not perfect, and you aren't either. So are there areas in our life where good judgment, we need to make good judgment our hometown. We need to make Sagacity our hometown, and we need to camp out. And if we're not moved to Mayberry, if we're not moved to Sagacity, then let's study it, let's learn about it, and let's get there as quickly as we can.
My father told me, lying on his bed of death, boy, says, woman, she's gonna make it. Don't fool yourself, 'cause she's got something to make a man. Lay that money right in her hand. The very thing that makes her rich will make you poor. Mm-hmm. The very thing that makes her rich will make you poor. That's right. Well, I'll put you behind the wheel of a 2¼. Yes, I did.
Track number 3 from Ry Cooter's Bop Till You Drop. The very thing that makes you rich makes me poor. It's a great tune. I would describe Ry's music as Americana. It's not quite folk. It's not quite rock and roll. It's not quite blues. It's not quite gospel. It's kind of a mishmash of all of that stuff. And this is a great, great, it's a great tune. It's got a great bass line as well. Good record. He's a good artist, and if you don't have any Ry Cooter in your collection, you should. I'm a big fan. What can I say? A lot of songs, because he does a lot of songs that are old, kind of old Americana songs, and a lot of them have at the heart of them about, you know, getting stuck with the wrong woman, which is kind of what that song's about. And he's got quite a few songs that he does like that. Bad Judgment, a lot of bad judgment. The very thing that makes you rich makes me poor. You think about, you know, the fable of the emperor has no clothes. And that seems to be at the heart of what's happening here today. We've got so many people that, no pun intended. The emperor has no clothes, and yet they know they're behaving poorly. You can't be. Can you be that foolish? I guess you can. I don't know that they're so foolish that they don't know that they're not behaving poorly. I just think they believe they can get away with it. I think they may succumb to the thought that who's going to stop me? Nobody's big enough to stop me. I can do this. And you just think about the lifestyle, though, and the stories that you hear. And if just a smattering of the stories are true, and you think about the payoffs, and you think about the pressure that is exerted for someone to keep their mouth shut, and you're like, I don't have any of that going on in my life, and I rather suspect you don't either. And look at how tough life is. Can you imagine? I can't. I'm sorry. I can't imagine. I don't care if you're making $28 million a year and you're paying people off and you're constantly having to look back behind your back because you refuse to behave in a way that's respectful of other human beings. When I read this article about that this was a result of power, these men were behaving poorly because of power, I did tweet out a counter argument. No, that ain't it. They're immoral. They're indecent. They are men who lack self-control. They're scumbags. They're behaving like scumbags. Power might be why they got away with it, and power might be why they initially engaged in it, but at the root of it, these are immoral, despicable guys who won't behave themselves. I mean, they are unrestrained. They're untethered, and they're just doing what they want to do. Well, imagine our society if we all did that. Imagine if sagacity just left us all, if good judgment just, it didn't exist. You couldn't drive your car. You couldn't get in your car right now and travel 1 mile safely. If nobody respected stop signs, if nobody respected signal lights, if nobody respected which side of the road to drive on, we need a degree of respect. We need a degree of conviction. We need a degree of some decency, some morality, some code of conduct. I would hope that you've got one. I've made no bones about it. Since day one here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, for me, the Bible is it. The gospel, the New Testament for sure, is it. God is it. Doesn't mean that I'm always living up to it. There are days that I should work harder at it, try harder. But there is this standard of behavior that I want to hold myself accountable to, that I want my family and people that care about me to hold me accountable to. I don't want to be left alone. I don't want people to not restrain me. I don't want people to not correct me. That's not shooting people. That's not telling people, well, you should do this, you should do that. When it comes to these choices that belong to us, this circle in the sand, as I called it some episodes ago, but when it comes to poor behavior, bad behavior, poor choices, poor judgment, destructive behavior. Destructive to me, destructive to other people. No, I would hope that people would care enough about me to stop me or to try. And this is what, come on, you've seen the show on television, I assume, Intervention. And this is what happens. These people have gotten themselves into such a deplorable state of addiction that their families just are at their wits' end. And they realize that if something isn't done, they're going to lose this person. This person's going to succumb to their sin, and it's going to cost them their life. And in hopes of trying to save this person, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And the hard thing is when you're trying to get somebody to move into sagacity and make that their hometown, they don't always want to do that. Some people like it right where they're at. And sometimes right where they're at is, it's not a good place. It's not a good hometown. It's a bad hometown filled with selfishness and wallowing in self-pity and an unrestrained behavior, a lack of temperance is what the Bible calls it, temperance, self-control. And increasingly, and I suppose power does play some part in the fact that as people get more power, more wealth, whatever, more resources, then there's little doubt in my mind that temperance can more easily go out the window. Right? I mean, some of us, we can't afford to be intemperate. We've got to behave ourselves. We don't have the option to go pay people off. We don't have the resources to go impose power on people and persuade people, ethically or otherwise, to keep their mouth shut. Don't tell anybody. It's remarkable. It's really beyond remarkable to me. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you know, I mean, how long do you think this is going to go? And I'm like, who knows? I mean, do you suppose that we've even touched the tip of the iceberg on this thing? No, of course not. Of course not. And, you know, who knows the depths of it? What's funny to me, not funny, ha-ha, funny, sad, is the hypocrisy. Is the same people that will behave poorly, would make suggestive comments and whatnot, and then they want to throw stones at these folks. And isn't it so indicative of just the way society is going? Especially here in America, I will tell you, and it's the only society that I'm a member of, so that I can speak with some degree of confidence. But there is so much sexual activity and suggestion and promiscuity and just immoral behavior, period. And so at some level, it's like, not shocking. Sorry, not shocking. The casting couch, that phrase has been in our consciousness all of my life. And people can say, well, you know, does such a thing exist? Well, it got started because it existed. It didn't get started because somebody just made that up. That phrase entered our consciousness because it clearly existed back in the day. I don't know. It comes back to me to being grounded and having some sense of purpose that is bigger than yourself. And without that, and without conviction, and without some code of morality, and I get that many people don't have any such code. What a sad state of affairs that is. What a sad state of affairs that good judgment is not your hometown. That your hometown is just whatever I want to do and however big I want to go, and I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do what I want because I deserve to be happy, even if that is through me behaving poorly. Track number four, I Think It's Gonna Work Out Fine, by Ry Cooter, from Bop Till You Drop. If you can't tell, he's a pretty talented slide player. And we'll just kind of let him play here in the background with this instrumental song, I Think It's Gonna Work Out Fine. I do think it's gonna work out fine. I think it's gonna work out fine, especially for those of us who commit ourselves to moving to Sagacity, making it our hometown. Those of us that decide good judgment is going to be the rule of our life, that we're not going to succumb to all the bad behavior that we see, all the selfishness, all the greed, all the whatever. I was thinking the other day, someone had asked me about my professional objectives and my goals for next year. And I was explaining to them what I was trying to do with these peer advisory groups that I'm going to be forming beginning in January, the Lord willing. Find out more by going to thepeeradvantage.com if you care. I believe so strongly in the power of peers and in the power of our ability to have good influence on one another, and that the people that we allow into our lives and the people that we allow to stay in our lives, that that provides such a powerful resource for us, not in that they do things for us or not in that they make decisions for us, but in that they support us. And that support looks very much like what Jack Nicklaus's father did for him, of giving him his feedback, giving him a perspective that might not have been Jack's, but then giving him permission. It's your call. It's your life. You make the call. And then when he makes the decision, even if that decision went counter to what Dad thought or Dad suggested, Dad didn't get mad and bent out of shape about it. Completely supported young Jack and said, okay, it's your deal. And was very supportive of that. Pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting phenomenon that I think too few people experience, which is why I want to make it this part of my life's work. That, and I'm really stinking good at it. He says, arrogantly, I don't mean it that way. I mean it in that I'm a guy who's bent toward deep conversation. Small talk is not my thing. I've gone on record. I'm a guy who I want to get to know people. And the more that people are willing to let me know, the better. And I'm willing to let people know me as well. I think there's great value in that. I think there's too many masks. Too much masking going on, too much hypocrisy going on, too many people trying to pretend to be something that they're not. I would rather know that here's where I want to be, here's who I want to be. I'm not quite there yet, but I want people in my life that will help me get there. I don't want people that will get me there. I want people who will serve me to help me get there. And I want to help serve other people to get to wherever that is that they want to go. I don't want to sit here and live somebody's life for them. I got enough trouble living my own. But I do know that I can be a resource, and I can be a reasonably smart guide for these kinds of conversations and these kinds of groups. And the respect that you have to have in these relationships that we have, whether they are like these peer advisory groups, or whether it's our families or our close friends or even casual friends, these relationships that we have, all these relationships that we have, they impact us and they can affect our judgment. And we can either serve one another with support and respect and some accountability, or we can turn a blind eye. And then you have what we're seeing every day happen. Bad behavior formed years ago, habits that began for whatever reason, and somebody got by with it, and they got by with it, and they got by with it until they don't get by with it. And then everything comes crashing down around their head. Is there redemption? Well, sure. Difficult. I mean, every day on the news and on sports talk radio, which really here in Dallas is more guy talk, but every day here I'm listening in the morning, especially to the radio, and, you know, they're kind of taking a little bit of wagering on who can recover. Of all these guys that have been outed, who can recover? And right now it seems to be the odds are that Louis C.K., because he's a comedian and because of the nature of his, which was very bizarre, by the way, which I will not go into, but because it didn't involve, you know, touching another woman, and because he's a comedian, the belief tends to be that, well, he might have the best shot at recovery. We'll see. We'll see. I know that there's a lot of serious thinking going on. I know that there's bound to be an awful lot of these guys. I would hope that there's an awful lot of, would sure like to have a do-over. They'd sure like to go back and do some things differently. Good judgment, sagacity. How can we make good judgment our hometown? Well, one way that we can do that is we clearly have got to have some kind of a moral compass. How do you get that? Man, that's a deeper topic than I want to go into today with a stuffed up head. But we've got to have a moral compass. We've got to have some sense of right and wrong. And we've got to be willing to surrender and submit to that sense of right and wrong. I can almost guarantee you that these fellows early on knew it was wrong, did it anyway. Well, we all do that. There's something that we do, all of us, and we know it's not right. We know it's detrimental to us, perhaps other people, and at some point we did it, or we do it, we continue to do it. And you may justify it in your head that, well, it's not that bad. It certainly isn't as bad as what these guys do, but we behave poorly. I've known people who lying was just the way of life for them. They would tell a lie when the truth would fit better kind of people. And you could tell that it just became a habit. And it might not be harmful, but is that really a good way to go? You really want to go through life being a liar? And you can say, well, that's better than what these guys are doing. It's not a contest for you to be better than somebody else. It's a contest for you to be your best. How can you be your best? How can we exercise good judgment? And not just exercise good judgment in that we conclude in our head that it's good to not lie. It's good to tell the truth. But now how can we put that horsepower to the pavement? How can we take action that is congruent with our good judgment? Well, I don't know. I don't think there's a secret to that. I think the secret is you just do it. You just make up your mind that you're going to do it. It is track number 5, Down in Hollywood. And like all of this stuff, Bop Till You Drop is the name of the record. And it's a fitting title for the record because there's just a good groove in all of these songs. Ry Cooder, Bop Till You Drop, 1979. If a saga is any narrative or legend of heroic exploits, and I've been thinking about this too for the last few weeks. Any of us that are interested in story, whether we're writing or whether we're doing a podcast, stories need heroes. And the hero is a person of action. The hero is a person of decision. A character in a book, a character in any kind of a story who doesn't make decisions and who doesn't take action is not a main central character. They're of no consequence. We don't care about them because there's no reason to care about them. They don't do anything. We're attracted to the heroes. We're attracted perhaps to the villains because they do things. They are decisive people who take action. The hero, good judgment. The villain may have good judgment, but bad intentions. The hero, good intentions. Good judgment, good choices, more often than not, doesn't always get it right, sometimes gets it wrong, and then he has to recover or she has to recover. They have to redeem themselves. They have to come back from a bad choice. But they correct a bad choice by making the next time they make a good choice, and then they act on that choice. And the cost or the consequence of that choice doesn't matter. They're committed to making that choice no matter what. And it makes them a hero. And we love them. We love them. We're attracted to these people. It's what keeps us turning the page. It's what keeps us engaged in watching, you know, the television or whatever. It continues to move us forward and make us care about them and care about the story. If sagacity is going to be our hometown, and if we're going to take the first part of that, the saga part, and say, okay, we want our exploits to be heroic. We want sagacity to be our hometown. We want to show acute mental discernment. We want to have keen, practical sense. We want to exercise good judgment, and we want to be the hero in our own story. Well, who doesn't want that? Come on. I want that. I can tell you right now, I want that. It doesn't mean supernatural. It doesn't mean miraculous. It doesn't mean even spectacular. But it means exercising good judgment. It means pre-thinking something, making a decision in our head in advance, and then committing to that. And this is where respect and support and accountability come into play when it comes to the impact that other people can have in our life. The hero is supported by people who respect the hero, who care about the hero, who want the hero to get it right, who want the hero to succeed, and who are going to help the hero succeed. But they're not the hero. You've got people in your life, and you've got people in your life that will either tolerate your bad behavior, as many of these characters that we're seeing in the news every day, or you're going to say, no, come on, you're better than this. This is nonsense. This has got to stop. This is destructive. This is not heroic. This is anything but heroic. This is villainous. But I guess some people want to be the villain. But those of us who want to call sagacity our hometown, those of us who want to be entrenched in good judgment, nah, we're not bent to be villains. We don't want to be villains. Sometimes we act in villainous ways, but we need to fix those. That's what repentance is all about, by the way. Changing our mind, making a different choice, making a different decision, which compels us to take different action. It's what happens when a drug addict suffers an intervention and accepts the intervention and accepts the fact that these people surround them in this room and say, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. If you're going to continue to do this, you're going to do it without us. We're out. And they say, I want help. I'm accepting help. Yes, I'm accepting it today. That's repentance. It's not just saying it. It's following through. It's doing it. Well, that's sagacity, kids. That's good judgment. And we all have to do that because we're human. And you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. And you live in a glass house and I live in a glass house. It's not difficult for me to not throw rocks. It really isn't. Because I can look at what's happening to other people and I can wonder about myself and what things am I doing? What behaviors am I engaged in that may be slowly working themselves into habits that could lead to something that is far more destructive than what may seem innocent at this stage of the game? I'm rather certain that these fellows, it may have started with some innocent flirtation that went too far. And it may have even begun with something that was reasonably consensual, but it transcended that very quickly. And it went to a place that it should have never gone, because quite frankly, it should have never gotten started to begin with.
Son, you ain't over the hill. You can't sit still. Great gosh, almighty, won't you look at granny run on faster than a greyhound bug?
My Lord, great God Almighty, won't you?
You better run.
be like my Tommy. Tommy.
Track number 6, Look at Granny Run Run, Bop Till You Drop, Ry Cooder, 1979. Good judgment. I think good judgment is like anything else. Exercise. It's just exercise. You just got to keep doing it. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. But if you don't do it, you're not going to ever get good at it. So I go to the gym every day. And about 6 weeks or so ago, I really began to hit the weights harder. And I'm not like some of these folks. I don't keep a little notepad. But I keep it in my head, you know, of how many reps I'm doing and what I'm doing. And I'm not adding on to the weight so much. I'm probably going to stay somewhere in the 50 to 100 pound range of weights that I do, but I'm intensifying the number of reps, and I will either go 20 or so where I was starting out at 10, and I'll go 20 or so. And then on the last series of reps, I'll go until I just can't. I'll go until it's okay. That's it. I got nothing else. And I would start out and I might do a couple of sets, and then I move to doing 3 sets, and now I'm doing 4 sets. And so that's been my approach. Now, different for everybody, whatever you want to do, do it. But for me, there's a big difference in what I was doing 6 weeks ago and what I'm doing now. I mean, the first set, not real difficult. The second set, not real difficult. By the third set, starting to get a little tougher. Well, 6 weeks ago, the first set was tough. So all of that to say this, it's the practice. It's the doing that strengthens the muscle. Good judgment is like poor judgment. If you live your life exercising poor judgment, you're just going to keep exercising poor judgment. And the deal with poor judgment, as we are seeing, is poor judgment leads to more poor judgment, and the judgment just gets poorer and poorer and poorer. And then it catches up. And sadly, by the time it catches up, there are so many damaged people in the wake, and these people have ascended to a higher plane of power and position and income and whatever else, a lot more to lose. Everybody's got a lot more to lose. Good judgment, on the other hand, judgment gets better and better. And look at the trajectory. Bad judgment is just a downhill slide. And it continues to go down and down and down, and eventually it will crash. Eventually, bad judgment, poor judgment, will result in a crash and burn. It's just a matter of when, and it's just a matter of how bad will the crash be. But good judgment just continues to get bigger and better and bigger and better and bigger and better. And listen, this is not a success kind of a thing. This is not you exercise good judgment, then you'll achieve all your wildest dreams. You'll live in the big house and drive the fancy cars. No. But you'll be living a better life, and you'll be serving people in your life better, and people in your life will be serving you better. And is there no value to be found in just being a better human being? I would hope that now that I'm here at the age of 60, I would hope that I'm a better human being than I was when I was 50. I would hope that over the last 10 years, I've learned a thing or two. I would hope that I'm better in every way. I'm feeling, this could be delusion, I don't think so. I'm feeling like I'm peaking. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. I feel like I'm kind of reaching an apex. I feel like I've spent my life learning what I've learned, having the experiences that I've had, having the work experience that I've had, running the businesses that I've run, and all the books that surround me that I've read and many others that I'm reading. And I've never been at a point where I know as much. I've never been at a point where I've got as much experience. I've never been at a point where I've got as much know-how. I've never been at a point where I've got as much patience. I've never been at a point where I've got as much directed ambition. It's like, this is a pretty good time, you know? This is really a pretty good time. Now, I may have thought I had all that in a bag of chips figured out when I was 30 or 40. Well, I didn't. And I don't know what the future holds. I know that out there somewhere is going to be, you know, a point of diminishing return. I don't feel like I'm there yet. And I know that the window's closing. So that gives me just a more urgency, a greater sense of urgency that I've got to make Sagacity my hometown. I just have to. I mean, if we're not going to make it our hometown now at this stage of life, it's never going to happen. So I now need to make sure that good judgment is really, really the way that I have committed my life. I need to be that smile. I need to be the stranger in town. I need to be the smiling guy who did all the homework, did all the research, and picks up and goes and just shoves all the chips in the middle of the table and says, you know, hey, Mayberry's going to be my hometown. No, I want Sagacity to be my hometown. Because the problem is if we don't follow good judgment, poor judgment's going to result in big, big trouble.
Trouble, you can't fool me. I see you behind that tree. Trouble.
Track number 7, Trouble, You Can't Fool Me. Ry Cooter, Bop Till You Drop. It's one of my favorite tracks. Well, trouble is fooling a lot of folks because a lot of people don't realize that trouble's hiding behind the tree because a lot of people are just frankly out there, well, they're creating trouble. They're not trying to avoid trouble. And as Ry sings, we need to realize trouble is trying to fool us. And your own trouble will come your way because of your own poor choices, your own stupidity, your lack of good judgment. I would encourage you to read. I would encourage you to visit with others. I would encourage you to absorb information. I would also encourage you to make up your own mind. I would encourage you to think carefully through the pluses and the minuses, the pros and the cons of a thing. And only you can decide if that thing is worth the risk or not. And some things, well, the risk is high, the reward equally so. In other cases, well, no, the risk is way too high and the reward seems far too low. But that's for you to decide. It's not for me to decide. I'm just wanting to provoke you to think about it. To think about making Sagacity your hometown, good judgment, and for you to have that steeped in some type of conviction, some moral code, some compass that you live by, that, frankly, like the episode that I keep referring to, The Circle in the Sand, these things that you protect viciously, not with vicious behavior, but with a vicious demeanor, you protect these things. You don't negotiate these things. You don't compromise these things. These are the things that define you. These are the things that make you who you are. These are the things that make your character. We're hearing all of these stories of poorly behaved gentlemen. He uses the word loosely. Jerks. Dirtbags is what they are. Professor Bob Sutton at Stanford, he has another name for them. It begins with an A and an H. And he's right. And he's had a field day, by the way, as well he should, because he's a guy who has talked about over the years trying to eliminate these people from the workplace, that you don't have to be a jerk. And that's not the word he uses, but you don't have to be a jerk to be an effective boss, to be an effective business owner. And he's right, you don't. And you don't have to be a dirtbag to be someone who has power and has some authority and has some leadership ability. Quite the contrary. I think those people who exercise good judgment, those people who are unwavering in their good judgment, no matter what, no matter what the cost may be, even if the cost is high, they're heroes, right? It's any narrative or legend of heroic exploits. Well, what are the heroic exploits? The heroic exploits are making a good decision and following through on it, even if it's costly, even if it is arduous, very difficult, even if the odds seem, well, the odds seem all stacked against you, that there's no way that you're going to win this thing. But if you're a hero, you just don't want to mess up a good thing. Track number 8, Don't Mess Up a Good Thing, Ry Cooter. We do mess up good things, and the good things that we mess up are our relationships, our life. Every aspect of our life can be completely ruined and wrecked by bad judgment. And then we're all going to exercise bad judgment every now and again. But when bad judgment becomes the habit of your life and the way that you live your life, yeah, well, you're reading about it. Don't make yourself subject to all the bad news. Sagacity needs to be the hometown that we all move to, a place where those of us that are trying to lean toward wisdom, a place that we want to call home, good judgment, having a true north star that we follow. Religiously or otherwise, a place where we don't compromise, where we are unwavering in our commitment to try to maintain a good thing. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. I hope you'll join the Facebook group. You can find out a way to do that. Just go click the Facebook icon over the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Happy December and happy Friday, and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. We're now up to track 9. We got one more track here. This is the final track of Bop Till You Drop by Ry Cooder. It is called I Can't Win. Ah, but you can. I think you can win. And I think those of us that are really working hard to lean toward wisdom, I think we're winning. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't really even know what it looks like for me. It doesn't look like what everybody seems to be chasing and pursuing, wealth and fame and notoriety and all that. But we don't care, right? I mean, life's okay. You've got challenges. I got challenges. It's not perfect. But, man, think about how it would be if we weren't trying to make sagacity our hometown, if we weren't trying to make good judgment be our lot in life. Well, it would just be worse. It would be so much worse. Here he is, Ry Cooder, Bop Till You Drop, track number 9, I Can't Win. Enjoy.